Unit 8, Part 2, Development of 4R Skills. Section A, Listening Comprehension. Task 1. Now listen to a conversation and answer question 1.
Good morning. I'd like to ask some questions about your insurance policies.
Of course. Please sit down. How may I help you?
I bought a house recently and would like to insure it and its contents.
Well, here is a pamphlet about our home insurance policy. We've named this policy Umbrella. May I ask how much you paid for your home and where you live? These are the two main things that decide how much your premiums are.
I understand. I live in the Oakfield area and paid $100,000 for my home.
Let me just check that on my computer. Oakfield is a low-risk area, so your premiums will probably be around $100 a month. The other thing to take into account is deductibles.
In this pamphlet, it says that the minimum amount for deductibles is $2,000. What does that mean exactly?
It means that the first $2,000 of any claim you make must be paid by you. The insurance policy covers any amount above that, up to the agreed limit.
Oh, I see. That's fine. What is the advantage of having higher deductibles?
If you have higher deductibles, your premiums are lower, because you will pay more of the claim and we will pay less.
Now listen to the conversation again and answer question 2. Good morning. I'd like to ask some questions about your insurance policies.
Of course. Please sit down. How may I help you?
I bought a house recently and would like to insure it and its contents.
Well, here is a pamphlet about our home insurance policy. We've named this policy Umbrella. May I ask how much you paid for your home and where you live? These are the two main things that decide how much your premiums are.
I understand. I live in the Oakfield area and paid $100,000 for my home.
Let me just check that on my computer. Oakfield is a low-risk area, so your premiums will probably be around $100 a month. The other thing to take into account is deductibles.
In this pamphlet, it says that the minimum amount for deductibles is $2,000. What does that mean exactly?
It means that the first $2,000 of any claim you make must be paid by you. The insurance policy covers any amount above that, up to the agreed limit.
Oh, I see. That's fine. What is the advantage of having higher deductibles?
If you have higher deductibles, your premiums are lower, because you will pay more of the claim and we will pay less. Task 2. Now listen to a news item and answer question 3.
Insurance companies are normally willing to insure anything. Insuring public or private property is a standard practice in most countries in the world. If, however, you were holding an open-air garden party or a fete, it would be equally possible to insure yourself in the event of bad weather. Needless to say, the bigger the risk an insurance company takes, the higher the premium you will have to pay. It is not uncommon to hear that a shipping company has made a claim for the cost of salvaging a sunken ship. But a claim made by a local authority to recover the cost of salvaging a sunken pie dish must surely be unique. Admittedly, it was an unusual pie dish, for it was 18 feet long and 6 feet wide. It had been purchased by a local authority so that an enormous pie could be baked for an annual fair. The pie committee decided that the best way to transport the dish would be by canal, so they insured it for the trip. Shortly after it was launched, the pie committee went to a local inn to celebrate. At the same time, a number of teenagers climbed onto the dish and held a little party of their own. Dancing proved to be more than the dish could bear, for during the party it capsized and sank in 7 feet of water. The pie committee telephoned a local garage owner, who arrived in a recovery truck to salvage the pie dish. Three men dived repeatedly into the water to locate the dish. They had little difficulty in finding it, but hauling it out of the water proved to be a serious problem. The sides of the dish were so smooth that it was almost impossible to attach horses and chains to the rim without damaging it. Eventually, they fixed heavy metal clamps to both sides of the dish so that they could fasten the chains. The dish now had to be lifted vertically because one edge was resting against the side of the canal. A powerful winch was put into operation, and one of the men started up the truck. Several minutes later, the dish was successfully hauled above the surface of the water. Water streamed in torrents over its sides with such force that it set up a huge wave in the canal. There was danger that the wave would rebound off the other side of the bank and send the dish plunging into the water again. By working at tremendous speed, the men managed to get the dish onto dry land before the wave returned.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 4.
Insurance companies are normally willing to insure anything. Insuring public or private property is a standard practice in most countries in the world. If, however, you were holding an open-air garden party or a fete, it would be equally possible to insure yourself in the event of bad weather. Needless to say, the bigger the risk an insurance company takes, the higher the premium you will have to pay. It is not uncommon to hear that a shipping company has made a claim for the cost of salvaging a sunken ship. But the claim made by a local authority to recover the cost of salvaging a sunken pie dish must surely be unique. Admittedly, it was an unusual pie dish, for it was 18 feet long and 6 feet wide. It had been purchased by a local authority so that an enormous pie could be baked for an annual fair. The pie committee decided that the best way to transport the dish would be by canal, so they insured it for the trip. Shortly after it was launched, the pie committee went to a local inn to celebrate. At the same time, a number of teenagers climbed onto the dish and held a little party of their own. Dancing proved to be more than the dish could bear, for during the party, it capsized and sank in 7 feet of water. The pie committee telephoned a local garage owner, who arrived in a recovery truck to salvage the pie dish. 3 men dived repeatedly into the water to locate the dish. They had little difficulty in finding it, but hauling it out of the water proved to be a serious problem. The sides of the dish were so smooth that it was almost impossible to attach horses and chains to the rim without damaging it. Eventually, they fixed heavy metal clamps to both sides of the dish so that they could fasten the chains. The dish now had to be lifted vertically because one edge was resting against the side of the canal. A powerful winch was put into operation, and one of the men started up the truck. Several minutes later, the dish was successfully hauled above the surface of the water. Water streamed in torrents over its sides with such force that it set up a huge wave in the canal. There was danger that the wave would rebound off the other side of the bank and send the dish plunging into the water again. By working at tremendous speed, the men managed to get the dish onto dry land before the wave returned. Task 3. Now listen to a news item and answer question 5.
Obtaining good health insurance while you are studying overseas is a real necessity to protect you from minor and catastrophic medical expenses that can wipe out not only your savings, but your dreams of an education abroad. There are often 2 different types of health insurance you can consider buying: international travel insurance and student health insurance in the country where you will be going. An international travel insurance policy is usually purchased in your home country before you go abroad. It generally covers a wide variety of medical services, and you are often given a list of doctors in the area where you will travel who may even speak your native language. The drawback might be that you aren't reimbursed for your medical expenses immediately. In other words, you may have to pay all your medical expenses and then later submit your receipts to the insurance company. On the other hand, getting student health insurance in the country where you will study might allow you to only pay a certain percentage of the medical cost at the time of the service, commonly called a copay, and thus you don't have to have sufficient cash to pay the entire bill at once. Whatever you decide, obtaining some form of health insurance is something you should plan before you go overseas, rather than waiting until you are sick with major medical bills to pay off.
Now listen to the item again and answer question 6.
Obtaining good health insurance while you are studying overseas is a real necessity to protect you from minor and catastrophic medical expenses that can wipe out not only your savings, but your dreams of an education abroad. There are often two different types of health insurance you can consider buying: international travel insurance and student health insurance in the country where you will be going. An international travel insurance policy is usually purchased in your home country before you go abroad. It generally covers a wide variety of medical services, and you are often given a list of doctors in the area where you will travel who may even speak your native language. The drawback might be that you aren't reimbursed for your medical expenses immediately. In other words, you may have to pay all your medical expenses and then later submit your receipts to the insurance company. On the other hand, getting student health insurance in the country where you will study might allow you to only pay a certain percentage of the medical cost at the time of the service, commonly called a copay, and thus you don't have to have sufficient cash to pay the entire bill at once. Whatever you decide, obtaining some form of health insurance is something you should plan before you go overseas, rather than waiting until you are sick with major medical bills to pay off.
Task 4. Now listen to a conversation and answer questions 7 to 8.
Tell me about yourself.
I was born and raised in Beijing. I attended Peking University and received my bachelor's degree in economics. I've worked for 2 years as a financial consultant in Beijing for China Pacific Insurance Company Limited. I enjoy playing tennis in my free time and learning foreign languages.
What type of position are you looking for?
I'm looking for a position in which I can utilize my experience.
Are you interested in a full-time or part-time position?
I'm more interested in a full-time position. However, I would also consider a part-time position.
Can you tell me about your responsibilities at your last job?
I advised the customers on financial matters. After I consulted the customer, I completed a customer inquiry form and catalogued the information in our database. Then I collaborated with colleagues to prepare the best possible package for the client. The clients were then presented with a summarized report on their financial activities that I formulated on a quarterly basis.
What is your greatest strength?
I'm an excellent communicator. People trust me and come to me for advice. One afternoon, my colleague was involved with a troublesome customer who felt he was not being served well. I made the customer a cup of coffee and invited both my colleague and the client to my desk where we solved the problem together.
What is your greatest weakness?
I tend to spend too much time making sure the customer is satisfied. However, I began setting time limits for myself if I noticed this happening.
Why do you want to work for our company?
After following your firm's progress for the last 3 years, I'm convinced that your company is becoming one of the market leaders, and I would like to be a part of the team.
When can you begin?
Immediately. Now listen to the conversation again and answer questions 9 to 12.
Tell me about yourself.
I was born and raised in Beijing. I attended Peking University and received my bachelor's degree in economics. I've worked for 2 years as a financial consultant in Beijing for China Pacific Insurance Company Limited. I enjoy playing tennis in my free time and learning foreign languages.
What type of position are you looking for?
I'm looking for a position in which I can utilize my experience.
Are you interested in a full-time or part-time position?
I'm more interested in a full-time position. However, I would also consider a part-time position.
Can you tell me about your responsibilities at your last job?
I advised the customers on financial matters. After I consulted the customer, I completed a customer inquiry form and catalogued the information in our database. Then I collaborated with colleagues to prepare the best possible package for the client. The clients were then presented with a summarized report on their financial activities that I formulated on a quarterly basis.
What is your greatest strength?
I'm an excellent communicator. People trust me and come to me for advice. One afternoon, my colleague was involved with a troublesome customer who felt he was not being served well. I made the customer a cup of coffee and invited both my colleague and the client to my desk where we solved the problem together.
What is your greatest weakness?
I tend to spend too much time making sure the customer is satisfied. However, I began setting time limits for myself if I noticed this happening.
Why do you want to work for our company?
After following your firm's progress for the last 3 years, I'm convinced that your company is becoming one of the market leaders, and I would like to be a part of the team.
When can you begin?
Immediately. Task 5. Now listen to a passage and answer questions 13 to 14.
Over the better part of the past year, a great debate has taken place in Washington and across America about how to reform our healthcare system to provide security for people with insurance, coverage for those without insurance, and lower costs for everyone. From the halls of Congress to the homes of ordinary Americans, this debate has helped us to forge consensus and find common ground. That's a good thing. That's what America is all about. Now, as the debate draws to a close, we can point to a broad and growing coalition of doctors and nurses, workers and businesses, hospitals and even drug companies, folks who represent different parties and perspectives, including leading Democrats and many leading Republicans, who recognize the urgency of action. Just this week, the Senate Finance Committee approved a reform proposal that has both Democratic and Republican support. For the first time ever, all five committees in Congress responsible for health reform have passed a version of legislation. As I speak to you today, we are closer to reforming the healthcare system than we have ever been in history. But this is not the time to pat ourselves on the back. This is not the time to grow complacent. There are still significant details and disagreements to be worked out in the coming weeks, and there are still those who would try to kill reform at any cost. The history is clear. For decades, rising healthcare costs have unleashed havoc on families, businesses, and the economy. And for decades, whenever we have tried to reform the system, the insurance companies have done everything in their considerable power to stop us. We know that this inaction has carried a terrible toll. In the past decade, premiums have doubled. Over the past few years, total out-of-pocket costs for people with insurance rose by a third. And we know that if we do not reform the system, this will only be a preview of coming attractions. A new report for the Business Roundtable, a nonpartisan group that represents the CEOs of major companies, found that without significant reform, healthcare costs for these employers and their employees will well more than double again over the next decade. The cost per person for health insurance will rise by about $18,000. That's a huge amount of money. That's going to mean lower salaries and higher unemployment, lower profits and higher rolls of uninsured. It is no exaggeration to say that unless we act, these costs will devastate the U.S. economy. Last November, the American people went to the polls in historic numbers and demanded change. They wanted a change in our policies, but they also sought a change in our politics, a politics that too often has fallen prey to the lobbyists and the special interests, that has fostered division and sustained the status quo. Passing health insurance reform is a great test of this proposition. Yes, it will make a profound and positive difference in the lives of the American people. But it also now represents something more. whether or not we as a nation are capable of tackling our toughest challenges. If we can serve the national interest despite the unrelenting efforts of the special interests, if we can still do big things in America. I believe we can. I believe we will. And I urge every member of Congress to stand against the power plays and political ploys and to stand up on behalf of the American people who sent us to Washington to do their business.
Now listen to the passage again and answer questions 15 to 18.
Over the better part of the past year, a great debate has taken place in Washington and across America about how to reform our healthcare system to provide security for people with insurance, coverage for those without insurance, and lower costs for everyone. From the halls of Congress to the homes of ordinary Americans, this debate has helped us to forge consensus and find common ground. That's a good thing. That's what America is all about. Now, as the debate draws to a close, we can point to a broad and growing coalition of doctors and nurses, workers and businesses, hospitals and even drug companies, folks who represent different parties and perspectives, including leading Democrats and many leading Republicans, who recognize the urgency of action. Just this week, the Senate Finance Committee approved a reform proposal that has both Democratic and Republican support. For the first time ever, all five committees in Congress responsible for health reform have passed a version of legislation. As I speak to you today, we are closer to reforming the healthcare system than we have ever been in history. But this is not the time to pat ourselves on the back. This is not the time to grow complacent. There are still significant details and disagreements to be worked out in the coming weeks, and there are still those who would try to kill reform at any cost. The history is clear. For decades, rising healthcare costs have unleashed havoc on families, businesses, and the economy. And for decades, whenever we have tried to reform the system, the insurance companies have done everything in their considerable power to stop us. We know that this inaction has carried a terrible toll. In the past decade, premiums have doubled. Over the past few years, total out-of-pocket costs for people with insurance rose by a third. And we know that if we do not reform the system, this will only be a preview of coming attractions. A new report for the Business Roundtable, a nonpartisan group that represents the CEOs of major companies, found that without significant reform, healthcare costs for these employers and their employees will well more than double again over the next decade. The cost per person for health insurance will rise by about $18,000. That's a huge amount of money. That's going to mean lower salaries and higher unemployment, lower profits and higher rolls of uninsured. It is no exaggeration to say that unless we act, these costs will devastate the U.S. economy. Last November, the American people went to the polls in historic numbers and demanded change. They wanted a change in our policies, but they also sought a change in our politics. A politics that too often has fallen prey to the lobbyists and the special interests, that has fostered division and sustained the status quo. Passing health insurance reform is a great test of this proposition. Yes, it will make a profound and positive difference in the lives of the American people, but it also now represents something more. Whether or not we as a nation are capable of tackling our toughest challenges, if we can serve the national interest despite the unrelenting efforts of the special interests, if we can still do big things in America. I believe we can. I believe we will. And I urge every member of Congress to stand against the power plays and political ploys and to stand up on behalf of the American people who sent us to Washington to do their business.
Section B. Listening-based integrated tasks. Good afternoon, Mr. Lee. I was to come at 4 o'clock, wasn't I?
Yes, Mrs. Smith. We have been expecting you.
Lee introduces Mr. Bai to Mrs. Smith.
Mrs. Smith, this is Mr. Bai of the People's Insurance Company of China. He has come to explain that unfortunate affair about the insurance.
Thank you for coming. Mr. Lee, as you may recall, the February consignment arrived at Manila seriously damaged. The loss through breakage was over 30% of the consignment. We've presented a claim to the underwriters through your firm. But the insurance company refused to admit liability, as there was no insurance against breakage. We naturally were not satisfied with such a reply.
I should like to hear what Mr. Bai has said about it. You know, of course, that we, the sellers, are merely acting as mediators in this matter. The underwriters are responsible for the claim, as far as it is within the scope of cover.
That's just the point. The loss in question was beyond the coverage granted by us. According to your instructions, we made out an insurance certificate covering WPA, and the risk of breakage wasn't mentioned in it. We rang up the ceramics section of the Light Industrial Products Corporation, but were told that their customer had not asked for a cover of the risk of breakage. In the letter of credit, only a cover for all marine risks was requested. I should like to point out that our prices were calculated without insurance of any special risk. So we applied for the usual WPA cover and let our customers deal with the matter of breakage. Since the validity of the letter of credit was to expire in 2 days, there was no time to write for more detailed instructions. If the letter of credit had been valid for a longer period, we should have had time to make the matter thoroughly clear.
Mr. Lee, our import license was only running up to the middle of February. Consequently, we were not able to extend the validity of the letter of credit. But we presume that the wording of our LC implies covering the risk of breakage. Besides, when I take WPA insurance, that is, with particular average, I should think the risk of breakage is included. Breakage is particular average, isn't it?
Not every breakage is particular average. It is a particular average when the breakage results from natural calamities and maritime accidents, such as stranding and sinking of the carrying vessel, or is attributable to fire, explosion, or collision. Without the occurrence of any such fortuities, breakage is often considered as an ordinary loss and represent what we call inherent vice or nature of the subject matter insured, which is outside the scope of the cover.
But the risk of breakage is covered by marine insurance, isn't it?
Certainly, but it is a usual practice to make specific mention in the insurance policy or certificate that the risk of breakage is included. The inclusion of this special risk will be subject to an additional premium, which will normally be higher than the basic insurance for the ordinary marine risks. The rate for such kind of risk will vary according to the kind, or, as in ceramics, according to the fragility of goods. I think you know all about it.
Well, I have heard something about it, but I can't say that it is very clear to me.
Then let me explain this insurance.
Mrs. Smith, would you care for a cup of tea?
Okay, thank you. Let me hear more about it. Good afternoon, Mr. Lee. I was to come at 4 o'clock, wasn't I?
Yes, Mrs. Smith. We have been expecting you.
Lee introduces Mr. Bai to Mrs. Smith.
Mrs. Smith, this is Mr. Bai of the People's Insurance Company of China. He has come to explain that unfortunate affair about the insurance.
Thank you for coming. Mr. Lee, as you may recall, the February consignment arrived at Manila seriously damaged. The loss through breakage was over 30% of the consignment. We've presented a claim to the underwriters through your firm. But the insurance company refused to admit liability, as there was no insurance against breakage. We naturally were not satisfied with such a reply.
I should like to hear what Mr. Bai has said about it. You know, of course, that we, the sellers, are merely acting as mediators in this matter. The underwriters are responsible for the claim, as far as it is within the scope of cover.
That's just the point. The loss in question was beyond the coverage granted by us. According to your instructions, we made out an insurance certificate covering WPA, and the risk of breakage wasn't mentioned in it. We rang up the ceramics section of the Light Industrial Products Corporation, but were told that their customer had not asked for a cover of the risk of breakage. In the letter of credit, only a cover for all marine risks was requested. I should like to point out that our prices were calculated without insurance of any special risk, so we applied for the usual WPA cover and let our customers deal with the matter of breakage. Since the validity of the letter of credit was to expire in 2 days, there was no time to write for more detailed instructions. If the letter of credit had been valid for a longer period, we should have had time to make the matter thoroughly clear.
Mr. Lee, our import license was only running up to the middle of February. Consequently, we were not able to extend the validity of the letter of credit. But we presume that the wording of our LC implies covering the risk of breakage. Besides, when I take WPA insurance, that is, with particular average, I should think the risk of breakage is included. Breakage is particular average, isn't it?
Not every breakage is particular average. It is a particular average when the breakage results from natural calamities and maritime accidents, such as stranding and sinking of the carrying vessel, or is attributable to fire, explosion, or collision. Without the occurrence of any such fortuities, breakage is often considered as an ordinary loss and represent what we call inherent vice or nature of the subject matter insured, which is outside the scope of the cover.
But the risk of breakage is covered by marine insurance, isn't it?
Certainly, but it is a usual practice to make specific mention in the insurance policy or certificate that the risk of breakage is included. The inclusion of this special risk will be subject to an additional premium, which will normally be higher than the basic insurance for the ordinary marine risks. The rate for such kind of risk will vary according to the kind, or, as in ceramics, according to the fragility of goods. I think you know all about it.
Well, I have heard something about it, but I can't say that it is very clear to me.
Then let me explain this insurance. Mrs. Smith, would you care for a cup of tea?
Okay, thank you. Let me hear more about it.